Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
At the beginning of August, we caught you up on more than 700 nurses at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester who had been on strike since March 8th. And as of today, they are still not back at work. Tenet Healthcare, which owns St. Vincent, made a final contract offer earlier this month, which the nurses tentatively accepted. But Tenet's offer doesn't include returning the nurses to their pre-strike positions. While all would be rehired, roughly 100 would have to go to other jobs as Tenet hired replacements for them during the dispute. That is a deal breaker for the striking nurses, and so the walkout continues. With the pandemic continuing to rage, time is of the essence for everyone. So we want to dig into this one. Today we're talking with the nurses and with a labor expert. Tomorrow we will hear from St. Vincent Hospital and a reporter who's been covering the whole thing. So joining us now, Marie Ritacco. She is a nurse in the post-anesthesia care unit at St. Vincent Hospital. She's also a member of the Nurses Contract Negotiating Committee and vice president of the Massachusetts Nurses Association, which is the union representing the striking nurses here. Marie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So, Marie, we have 700 nurses not engaged in patient care during a 100-year pandemic, and it's been almost 6 months. How did we get here?
Well, we got here because the nurses of St. Vincent Hospital, after many months of trying to convince the hospital prior to the pandemic that we were in a healthcare crisis inside the building because of lack of bedside staffing, mostly nurses. And once the pandemic hit, as our conditions got exponentially worse and communication broke down between the nurses and the hospital, we knew that we had no choice but to take this fight to the streets. We certainly gave due diligence to trying to fix this within the building. We spent many months, as I said, prior to and after the pandemic began, to convince them that we needed additional staffing. The conditions in that hospital had deteriorated. Honestly, I have to tell you, since Carolyn Jackson came to St. Vincent Hospital about 2.5 years ago, not only did conditions at the during labor management deteriorate, but conditions at the bedside did. Our patients were suffering. They were waiting far too long to have their call lights answered. Patients were falling at an alarmingly high rate. Patients were developing bed sores, were crying for pain medicine, and we just weren't able to do justice to, you know, the patients that we were caring for.
So just for listeners, Carolyn Jackson is the CEO of St. Vincent Hospital. I hear you, and I understand. I asked you how we got here, and you laid out the case for the strike. I also want to ask, so then 6 months not in the hospital providing patient care during the pandemic, how does that sit with you? To be out of the patient care game. You said there was a crisis in that hospital before you guys took to the streets. Have you worried about what's happening in that hospital when you're not in there?
Of course, we are very concerned about that. You know, last week we accepted their final offer, including their staffing proposal. We knew at that point, with the numbers climbing with COVID, you know, fueled by the Delta variant, that we had come to the point where we achieved enough to make us feel that we made a difference, that conditions will be safer once our contract is implemented, but we knew it was imperative that we get back into that hospital as soon as possible. So just simply put, they are holding us out here at this point out of retaliation. That is just so wrong-minded.
So when you accepted the contract, Marie, did you know about this portion that said we will not rehire you back to your original jobs? Some 100 of you will have to go to other jobs?
Well, I think our assumption was that it would be like it was the last time we went on strike. At the end, we put our proposal for return to work and that it would be accepted, which is every nurse goes back to their own position. However, the hospital gave us their proposal, and it was vastly different from what we consider safe. And I'll tell you why. I'll give you an example. We have a level 2B nursery. the hospital likes to tout that they provide advanced practice abilities by our registered nurses that work there to take care of infants that are born 32 weeks and forward. So these are very fragile patients. And we have the hospital proposing to us that in a return to work, two nurses on the day shift who each have 40 years experience would be displaced and replaced by two nurses that are novices who don't have the expertise or the skill. That is not good for our community.
So do you think this is going to work, Marie? Staying out now, do you believe this will work? Or I guess I'm wondering, not having been engaged in a strike myself, if there isn't a risk the hospital will hire more nurses to replace the ones who are not in the building. Are you worried that this is a game of chicken you might lose?
It is incumbent upon Tenet to not only answer to the nurses, but they have to answer to our community. You know, we have tonight seven faith leaders from different congregations coming to the line to show their support for our cause because they know this is a just cause. We have nearly every congressional leader, every legislator, the mayor, the city council supporting our position, all of whom want us back in that building to care for our community, particularly now as the Delta variant continues to impact the entire city and our sister hospitals. No one's speaking out for Tenet or holding rallies for them. You can be assured of that. Plus, we have other organizations and unions all across the country who are supporting this cause. And yes, we want to be back in that building as soon as possible. But we need to do it, and we need to send the message to Tenet. They have to realize it's time to work with us and not continue to abuse us to get us back into that building.
All right. So just a note again to listeners that we will have someone from St. Vincent Hospital, which is owned by Tenet, on tomorrow. Marie, before I let you go, when you're back, what are you most looking forward to doing in your workday? What do you miss the most?
Just, caring for people, the hands-on care, bringing comfort, helping to heal people. It's what we live for, I know that if Tenet would come to their senses, they would realize that what we're proposing is what is best for the community, to have the experienced nurses back at the bedside, for us to be able to help to mentor and orient the newer nurses that are going to be coming into this facility. We realize that we need new hires, of course, because we had over 100 nurses leave St. Vincent Hospital even before we went out on strike. So there certainly is room for these nurses that were hired during our strike. But we need to get those very experienced expert hands back into the areas that they came from. It's imperative for the health of our community.
All right. That is Marie Ritacco. She's a nurse in the post-anesthesia care unit at St. Vincent Hospital, a member of the Nurse Contract Negotiating Committee, and vice president of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. Marie, thank you.
Thank you.
And tomorrow, Carolyn Jackson, CEO of St. Vincent Hospital, will join us for a conversation on the last 6 months. So now we want to step back for some perspective on the strike. And to do that, we have Steve Striffler, who is the director of the Labor Resource Center at UMass Boston. Steve, thanks for joining us. Steve, do we have you there?
Yes, you do.
Hi, thanks for joining us. Steve, let me just start by asking you your reaction to what you heard from Marie.
She's a tough act to follow, would be my first reaction. She sort of pinpoints it. I mean, I think in some ways what's going on at Tenet and St. Vincent, with Tenet and St. Vincent is, and the strike, is kind of a microcosm of a larger problem that's going on throughout the healthcare industry, that we see throughout the country on a number of levels. But I mean, I think she was right on point.
So I want to ask you, Steve, is there, for people watching from the outside, I'll run a couple of the numbers that I ran when I was talking to Marie. You've got 700 nurses not involved in patient care during a 100-year pandemic. The strike's been going on for almost 6 months. We know that as of right now, that's the second longest nurses strike in Massachusetts history. If it goes another week, it will become the longest. How is it shocking to see something like this, or is this par for the course in labor negotiations? And while you're at it, should anything or is anything traditionally different when we're in the kind of life and death situation that we're facing collectively right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I think on some level, it's of course kind of outrageous because we're in the middle of a pandemic and this just shouldn't be happening. On the other hand, I mean, I do think it's part of kind of a broader trend within the industry, and that is, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, or within the last decade, more or less, we've really seen an industry, well, essentially an industry that has been taken over much more by private equity and big business during the last decade. So hospital operators, now owned really by some of the largest companies in the world, have been insufficiently staffing hospitals for quite some time. And so it's also why we've seen the increase of strikes by nurses, because they've seen this firsthand, and they've been telling us this since before the pandemic. But I mean, I think the pandemic in many ways has brought it, you know, to a head. And so Tenet Healthcare is not local. I mean, I think they own more than 60 hospitals, hundreds of healthcare facilities. It's a Fortune 500 company. And so they're operating kind of on a different logic. And I think the core of it, as Marie was talking about, is understaffing. And this has been chronic. It's brought to a head by, you know, certainly by the pandemic. But I mean, I think the question is, at least for me, is, you know, why the understaffing? That is, we had nurses who selflessly sort of swarmed to hospitals during the beginning of the pandemic, threw themselves at the work, saved lives. You know, but why are they so exhausted that they're changing professions, retiring completely, leaving hospitals, or in this case, going on strike to change things? And I mean, I think the answer is complex, but it's really that hospital-based nursing jobs, as they're currently constructed, are essentially destroying the very people that hold them. They're unsustainable in the sense, not simply like in the sense that they don't pay sufficiently or are dangerous, and sometimes they are, sometimes they don't pay sufficiently, sometimes they are dangerous, and these problems should be addressed, but they're unsustainable simply in the sense of hospitals not being sufficiently staffed, which burns out nurses, essentially forces them either to leave or go on strike. And we've seen this as the healthcare industry has been sort of controlled much more by private equity and large business.
Okay, so Steve, you have just painted a bleak picture. And I asked Marie, are you worried this won't work? You've just painted a picture that suggests that there are industry forces so much bigger that this won't work. What would it take to get healthcare staffing and nurses staffing, in your mind, back to, you know, are there labor negotiations? Is it some other industry change? Is it a financial change in who owns hospitals?
Yeah, I mean, maybe all of the above. I mean, I would say the first answer, like in an immediate sense in this case, is that we need to be listening to nurses. They've been telling us this for years. This is not just sort of a product of the pandemic, and they've been making this call about understaffing for a long time. I think we need to learn more about, yes, I mean, I think what you're pointing to is who's in control of these. We've gone from hospitals that were much more state-owned or owned by nonprofits like religious communities that used to own them, to hospitals that are really hospital systems that are owned by some of the largest companies in the world. And that may require things. It may not be enough. I mean, I think in this case, the nurses have done a great job in getting community support, political support. Hopefully they can pressure Tenet Healthcare into, you know, I mean, really coming to the table here at the end. They have an agreement. They just need to kind of, the back to work thing is just ridiculous. But I think in a larger sense, we do need to have a larger discussion that would involve some sort of regulation, of these companies and the way we sort of provide healthcare and who's sort of in control of it, because it's not working. And we've seen this just in a larger sense, right, of hospitals owned by private equity. In particular, we see cuts to staff, particularly around the pandemic, which is just astounding to many of us. I think Tenet Healthcare immediately within the first month of the pandemic cut their own labor force by about 10%, which is just counterintuitive, I think, to most of us. So, yeah, I mean, I think there does need to be a deeper look into this.
All right. That is Steve Striffler. He's the director of the Labor Resource Center at UMass Boston. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.